please turn with me to your scripture to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we have one verse, and that's verse 58. So 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. I do apologize. I don't know what page it is in the Pew Bibles, but if you open up the Pew Bibles, it's very easy to find 1 Corinthians. And this verse, actually, when Pastor told me what the verse was, I said, oh, this verse is easy for me. It's my life verse. It's the verse that God had given to me many years ago, and I've held on to it for a long time. And it says this. It says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Wonderful passage of Scripture, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to us through His messenger today.
Thank you so much, ladies, for your playing and leading. I so much appreciate that. I'm going to ask you at this time if you'd please take your Bibles and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This morning, we want to look at this. I forgot. Junior church is dismissed. In case there's any that missed that unannouncement, my apologies. This morning, we want to look at the subject of temptation. There is never a time this side of heaven where we will be beyond the reach of temptation. Satan is always going to put things in our path to try to trip us up, to try to get us to back off from living a God-honoring life. He is always going to try to trip us up. But the good news is that God is more powerful than Satan, than all of the demons of hell. He is more powerful than even we are ourselves. And it's important for us to recognize that temptation, although it is an experience that we all go through, there is promised victory over them if we will simply follow God and allow Him to open the door of escape. This particular verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, reads like this. And in a moment, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. But this verse in 1 Corinthians, where we're going to spend most of our time in chapter 10, it says this, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, I pray that each and every one of us would place our complete confidence and trust in You, and in the fact that nothing touches us that You are unaware of. But Father, You are aware of all things. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to remember that if we place our confidence and trust in You and we listen to Your voice, You will help us to avoid the pitfalls that Satan places in front of us. And so, Father, give us help, give us guidance, give us peace. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, And we come to that 13th verse. There are five things I want us to look at this morning. I want us to look at the fact that God is aware. Secondly, that God is faithful. Third, that God is limiting. Fourth, that God always provides. And fifth, that God helps us to triumph. And so as we look at these things, we'll see how there is a building of our faith. And as we go from temptation experience to temptation experience, we actually get a stronger and stronger faith if we follow God. If we see in our lives how He helps us, that builds our strength and our character for the next time that we're going to face something difficult. And so I want us to really look at what this verse says so that when we get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the 58th verse, we will be able to say, I am someone who's going to be steadfast, immovable, and I'm always going to abound in the work of the Lord and realize that my toil is not in vain. Because often we get caught in the trap of thinking that nothing's going on, that no one is listening, and that it's unimportant then how we live. So we want to get away from that kind of a mindset to the mindset of hope, to the mindset of commitment, to the mindset of the Spirit, so that we can honor God with our lives. So let's begin to look at this. The very first thing that we want to look at in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the fact that God is aware. Look at how Paul brings this out. He says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is aware. Temptation is a common experience. You face temptations. I face temptations. Everyone faces temptations. And God is completely aware of what those particular weaknesses are, of what Satan is going to try to use to destroy us and to trip us up. And there is nothing that in the realm of temptation that somehow catches God off guard. He is aware. He knows what the enemy is going to be doing before he ever does it. And I wish I had that kind of knowledge, don't you? Don't you wish you had the kind of knowledge to know what the enemy was going to do before they would do it? And you'd be able then to fight against that and not be taken? Well, the truth of the matter is, even if we don't know what the temptation is that Satan's going to throw at us, God already knows it. And so wouldn't it be wise for us to listen to His voice and to follow His leadership so that we're not taken off guard? Sadly, many people, even within the church, don't connect continually with God. Often, the relationship of people in the church even is so anemic that they're taken off guard. And when temptation comes, they yield to that temptation. God is aware. And if we just simply place ourselves doing the daily disciplines, God will shield us and protect us, and He'll give us wisdom if we'll simply seek it. You know, it is difficult to, I'm going to be real careful here, it is difficult to maintain a love relationship when we don't communicate. Have you ever thought of that? It's difficult. to maintain a love relationship when we don't communicate. John and Becky recently got married, didn't you, John and Becky?
Yeah.
You still talking?
Yeah.
Are you talking to her?
Absolutely.
Does she talk back? I don't mean give back talk. You're communicating, right?
Yeah.
And that helps the love relationship to grow, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. You know what? Our relationship with God is like that. But how often do we not spend time talking with God? And even more so, how often do we not spend time allowing Him to talk to us? We could avoid a lot of the traps that we fall in if we take time with God and communicate with Him. How do we communicate with Him? Through prayer. And through faithful obedience. How does He communicate with us? Through His Word. And through the witness and testimony of those who have been faithful to Him. You know, it always tickles me with an irritation. Okay, I'll use that. Tickles me with an irritation when people say, well, I don't have to go to church in order to honor God. Isn't that sad? And yet people say that all the time. It comes out like this. I can worship God by the trout stream as well as I can worship Him in the house of the Lord. And it sounds so holy. But you know, it's not true. God did not create us to be an independent people. He created us to be a family. He created us to be a part of the body of Christ, a part of the bride of Christ. He created us to be in fellowship with Him and with others. He didn't create us as islands. He created us as a body that needs to function together. Jesus recognized that so much that, now catch this, Jesus made it His custom to be in the temple on the Lord's Day. Isn't that interesting? Jesus needed church. Jesus needed personal prayer with His Father. And consequently, His Father communed with Him. You know what Paul said about that? Let the same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the same heart. Have the same passion. Have the same confidence in God. It's important, folks, that we realize that nothing can touch us that God is unaware of. And if we will just simply keep ourselves in open communication with God continually, reading so that He can speak to us through His Word, praying so that we can commune with Him, listening for the still small voice of God as He speaks back, if we will do that, He will guide our steps and He will guard our stops. God is aware of everything that the enemy wants to do to you. Have Him be your guard. Secondly, I want you to notice that God is faithful. Look at the second part of that 13th verse. In fact, it says it, and God is faithful. In other words, God is trustworthy. The faithfulness of God is our key to overcoming temptation. Is God God or is He not? And we have to answer that question. Is God God? Does He have the ability to protect us? Does He have the ability to give us a way of escape when difficulties come? Does He have the wisdom that He can imbue us with to protect our spirits and our soul? And if He does, then can He be trusted? Can He be trusted to involve Himself in our lives when we're going through a struggle? God is faithful. He can be trusted. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be those times when people aren't going to understand you. But God is faithful. You follow Him no matter what others may say, what others may do. You follow Him and He'll help you. And He'll give you direction. And He'll give you strength. He is faithful. Keep your confidence in Christ fresh, open, and up to date. God is faithful. The third thing I want you to notice is that God is limiting. Look at the third part of that verse. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You see, God is involved in limiting the level of temptation that we experience. And so in that sense, He is a limiting God. He's not a limited God. He is a limiting God. He so loves you and He so watches over you that He will only allow the enemy to test you and to tempt you to a certain point, and then He shuts it off. And God knows what you can take and what you can't. He knows what is that line of demarcation that determines whether or not you'll be able to withstand the pressure of temptation. God is aware. So He only allows Satan or his minions to have a certain amount of authority. So when the temptation's coming, God becomes the filter so that you are not overcome. You still have a choice. Will I submit to the temptation or will I submit to the Savior? That's your choice. Will I give in to that which I know to be sin, or will I give in to He who I know to be Savior? What am I going to do? God will filter temptation so that you still have the ability in Him to overcome it. You don't have to be taken off guard. You either willingly submit to God or you submit to sin. That's what we're faced with when we face temptation. God or sin? Submit to God. Let the Spirit of God give you guidance and direction. He'll not allow you to be overcome. You may choose to succumb to sin, but you don't have to. You can choose to be spared through Christ and be brought through victorious. The choice is yours. Remember, God is limiting that which could destroy you. Number four, God always provides. Look at the next part of that verse. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also. With the temptation will provide the way of escape. You see, God always provides ways of escaping the temptations that come. Always. I remember back in the 50s and 60s, I guess, there was a television show where people got the choice of doors. I can't remember what the name of the show was. But anyways, it was a game show, and they got to choose certain doors. And then whatever prize was behind that door was what they got. But they got the right to choose those. There were usually three doors, and one would have this amazing prize. One would have an average type of prize, and one would have, I think, what they called a clunker. Okay, it has nothing to do with my 96 Chevy. Okay, not that kind of a clunker. But it would be, I remember one particular show where the person won a goat as their prize, but that's what they chose. You know, they chose that particular door, and behind that door was a woman that had Terry Daniels would probably have loved that gift, but nonetheless, when you look at the new automobile that was behind the one and the new refrigerator and stove and that kind of thing that was behind the other, when they opened that door and there's a woman with a rope tied to a goat, you probably weren't that impressed. You know, I want to tell you, behind every door of temptation, there's a goat. And you're not going to be impressed with the results. But God opens a window when temptation comes. Take the window. It's an interesting thing. Behind a door, you can't see what lies there. But windows are clear. And you see, when God provides the way of escape, it's like a window. You can see what's on the other side. With a door, you can't. Satan doesn't tell you what the end result will be if you take his door of temptation. Look for the window. God wants you to see clearly the blessing that he will give you if you take his way of escape. He's not going to hide that from you. He's going to clearly let you see what lies before you. Follow God's open ways, because he always provides that way of escape so that the temptations that you face will not overcome you. Then number five, God helps us to triumph. He helps us to triumph. Look at the end of that 13th verse. God provides the way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. You know what that means? That means that although the temptation comes, God gives you the strength to not submit to it. Temptation, folks, we need to remember this. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. And so God gives you the spiritual strength to not submit to temptation. But when you take His way of escape, He gives you spiritual strength. He gives you freedom. He gives you victory. And once you have tried God's way of escape, when temptation comes, you always look for the escape route. And that's what God wants you to do. And you know what? When we do that, then the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, clarify our understanding just a little bit. Because we realize that with the help of Christ, we can be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that we're not working in vain. God brings victory over temptation. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time if you would please take your hymnals and open up, if you would, to number 430. Number 430. We're going to sing this through, and we're just going to sing it right straight through. And if you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, I've not been looking for God's escape route, and there have been too many times that I've just been submitting to the temptation instead of seeking the escape. And you would like to give that over to the Lord today, we invite you to come. I won't bother you. No one will bother you. Just your time with the Lord today. So if God is speaking to you and He's pointing out, you remember this, you remember that, I tried to help you and you wouldn't, and sin became a part or a result, why don't you give that over? Give it over to Him and then commit yourself to always looking for God's escape route. So we're going to sing right straight through, and if God is speaking to you, we invite you to come.